Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, for the third week in a row, being introduced in rapid order with no specific assignment of voice to name. I am joined by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk,
Hi,
Mike Anderson, and Michael Server. Yeah, just chime in. Forgot. Just holler it in. Just do it.
Forgot.
He did. He did. I saw him in person yesterday, and he almost forgot.
I did. But I recovered, and I'm here. We are in our third installment of our Ode to the Bowls, our previews, our encomium, our encyclopedia of all things bowl knowledge. That is correct. 4440 rolls on. Lore mistress Holly Anderson controls the knobs for this wild and untamable machine. Where did we leave off and where are we going in this episode, Holly?
I don't know where we leave off because I have joined Ryan in never listening to the show.
The pass is dead. Move on.
The pass is dead. Let's bury it. Agreed. Bowls that haven't happened yet were in this last episode, but we have forgotten them before they take place. And we are on to the military bowl presented by Periton. JLawOK.gif. This is taking place on Wednesday, December 28th, 2 p.m. ESPN, Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium in Annapolis, Maryland. It features 9-4 UCF versus 8-4 Duke. Before you ask, Periton Inc. is a privately held American technology company formed in 2017. Its areas of service include space, intelligence, cybersecurity, defense, homeland security, and somewhat ominously, health.
These are like character aspects in a video game. This is like a Deus Ex character you're creating.
I'm waiting for
what goes in my inventory? Hacking, shotgun, health kit.
The military bowl benefits the USO, which is still a thing and not a phase one MCU subplot. Y'all, I'm becoming a fan of the military bowl. Go ahead.
Can I back you up on this company that's sponsoring it?
You can back me up on any company, Ryan. That's upsetting. A lot more upsetting than it sounded in my head.
You were so enthusiastic. Mm. According to the Wikipedia, Periton says...
my undercarriage right down on this credenza. Ugh. Worse.
Worse.
Periton says its name is, quote, a construct of the prefix per, which means thoroughly.
Oh yeah, this is like mission critical or something, right?
And the word imperative, reflecting the importance of its customers' missions. But I don't understand, because imperative has per in it, and none of these have the O-N in Periton, and I feel like they just... I understand that it is...
You think coasting off the semantic goodwill of Peloton, don't you?
It feels a little bit like that. It feels a little bit like drunk Papa John slurring the word Peloton.
It's like doing Peloton with a lip in, which actually UCF probably is very familiar with this.
My kids love me, and I'm still CEO, and I care lots of women. Everything's good here in my Peloton. Keeping it tight.
Papa John Peloton instructor would be pretty good. I would
Thank
buy
you for
a Peloton.
If... right after I said I'm kind of starting to like this game. Now
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Also, it said it was concerned with the quality of their customers' emissions, and they work in health.
Health.
Just connecting those two.
Fart intelligence.
I love their Twitter bio. Fearlessly solving the world's most complex challenges. I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it. Seriously, yeah.
You brought Duke into your bowl on purpose.
Yeah, like, how is every bowl has gone from, like, sponsored by companies I have heard of, businesses I trust on the order of, like, Hardee's and shit, to, like, crypto shit, and now it's to, like, these fake, are you all like Elon Musk knockoffs? Is that what you are?
I hope.
All these companies with, like, 9 followers on social media talking about their synergizing Earth into new paradigms and shit.
I hope this is the company that you call when you're like, hey, it's me, manager of the Suez Canal. The boat is stuck. What should I do? And Periton is like, bomb it. Bomb the boat. Bomb the boat. Explode the boat.
We're in charge of putting the boat back.
We're going to liquefy poor people.
Leave it where it is.
Out of there.
We will lube up the boat with poor people. Correct.
That's what we will do. I want to be in the company's meetings when they say, we solve the most challenging problems known to man. And they say, can you build a fusion reactor? And they're like, we do not solve the most challenging problems known to man. That was false advertising. We cannot help you with this.
Can you fix the Philadelphia 76ers? We cannot handle that problem.
And I think that problem is like not known to humanity, right? I think that's how they get out of that one. It's not yet. We haven't unlocked the prerequisite technologies there.
Periton, we need people to know who Mike Trout is and what he looks like. We cannot solve that impossible problem.
Sorry, look at this photograph of Mike Trout. I can't. I can't see it. Nothing there. Not loading. Where did Mike Trout go to college? No one knows. Did he go to college?
Can you keep an NBA team in Seattle? Let's say
Duke. Let's keep it on theme. Mike Trout went to Duke.
Hmm. Okay.
Or is it UCF? Or is it both?
Let me try to learn
Duke
this.
CF.
Has anybody ever transferred? What would be weirder? I guess somebody probably has transferred from UCF to Duke. Has anybody ever transferred from Duke to UCF?
Mike Trout is from New Jersey, which pretty much, you could go half Duke or half UCF.
That's
there.
Right.
That's a perfect split.
Yeah.
He's a daywalker.
Oh. Fuck.
He's the bridge.
We need to find somebody who went to Duke, but who has like a PhD from UCF.
Mike Trout played baseball at the University of Delaware, in fact, which is also not real. Holy shit.
Blue hen.
That's Flacco erasure.
This guy is not real.
This doesn't help, by the way, but as of this writing, militarybullshop.com is unreachable.
Well, that's...
Again. It's probably because of the Merchant of Death is still connecting with his arms dealer network.
Yeah.
You know, once he gets plugged back in, Military Bull will be back online.
That sounds like one of the most challenging problems known to man.
Have we seen who the Military Bull Parade Grand Marshal is?
I'm trying to get there. I'm sorry.
Yes. Holly,
yes,
go ahead.
I have a
go
whole
ahead.
List of things to
I apologize.
Talk about the military
we interrupted
bull,
Laura.
And you
I apologize.
Won't let me get there.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
First of all, we acknowledge the disappointments inherent of the Military Bowl, including the fact that one past event that doesn't appear to be on the agenda anymore is putting both teams under the spell of a hypnotist, which is something that apparently they did in past years.
Well, military hypnotist?
You can't do it
like
this year.
Like CIA brainwashing?
I don't know! Is?
Hypnotism is a major at UCF, so it would
You will kill Castro. You will kill Castro.
They do this every year, and it never works.
Mm-hmm.
I got a scholarship to UCF in close-up magic.
All right. First, I need to list, in the interest of both sidesing, I need to list a series of facts in the Military Bull's favor, because I found all these unexpectedly charming. Amazing headline. WWE Global Ambassador Titus O'Neil named Military Bull Parade Grand Marshal. It gets better. Titus O'Neil is the Military Bull Parade's Grand Marshal this year because he has nephews on both teams. He is a troop uncle. And a son, I think, on one of the teams, on UCF. One of the teams he has a nephew and a son on, and another one he has a nephew on. So Titus O'Neil is all-time uncle. Which feels directly up our alley. Second of all, there's a parade for this that they let youth football teams participate in.
Okay.
I kind of want to go. That's the first one of these parades I ever want to attend. With first-rate participants and events, the Military Bowl seeks to positively impact the regional economy, generate broad support for the USO, and honor the U.S. military. About that, the military bowl sponsors its own bar crawl. It's called a bar crawl.
Yeah, that's
what the military does.
It takes place in downtown Indianapolis. It starts on Tuesday.
Indianapolis?
Wait.
Downtown Annapolis.
Oh, okay.
It starts on a Tuesday at 4 p.m.
Last Tuesday?
No,
I wish it was
Tuesday.
Going from Indianapolis.
So
it was going from Indianapolis to Annapolis, like retracing the route that the Colts trod, bar crawling all the way back home.
Oh, the Mayflower Trail, yeah.
The Colts could use a few right now.
Anyway, It feels weird to defend the military bowl for this long, but I just had to list those factors in its favor. A Navy sponsored bar crawl sounds like at Liver Olympics on a level that I scarcely dare not contemplate.
The Budweiser Clydesdales are also leading the military bowl parade. Which
are they leading the bar crawl?
Is Titus going to ride a Clydesdale?
That's got to be the only horse big enough to support like a wrestler.
Right? So many questions.
Probably. This is, as far as military propaganda goes, this is as close to effective as I think it's going to get. Mm-hmm. This is like, yeah. if it were possible to be swayed, this is probably what it would take.
If that bar crawl is truly military grade, they're going to eat the Clydesdales.
That's Mongol thinking right there.
Yeah. All
right. I mean, horse is tired. Dig in.
We brought rides and we brought a snack. It's not DUI if you're on a horse.
This is actually not the last time the Mongols are going to come up in this show, but we'll get back to that with the Tax Slayer Bowl. Okay.
You can't park here. I didn't.
I didn't. The car is gone.
Car's in Matoto.
I didn't park here. I littered.
I didn't park here, but I gotta go take a big old dump.
Do we have football thoughts on this bowl game, or
It'll probably be pretty dumb.
Okay. Oh, like, yeah, this one's yeah, dumb prone. This feels real dumb.
Is UCF ranked right now?
Gus has to go to Annapolis.
No, fun. UCF is 9-4.
So is the winner of this game gonna end up ranked in the AP poll?
Yeah, ish.
Like, that seems likely. I'm looking at the most recent. UCF is also receiving votes, but not far out. Duke is nowhere to be found.
Duke's like a, this sounds like damning with faint praise, they're like a top 40 team in both, like, scoring defense and scoring offense. That's a real rough statistical thing.
Elko has them pointed in the right direction, I think.
Duke is decent.
Yeah, that's a decent-ass football team.
3 points away from playing for the conference title. Really, and if they had beaten UNC when they played them, a game they lost by 3 because they got outscored 14-7 in the fourth quarter, they would have played Clemson for the ACC title.
Whew, this is a power. This is better for them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agree.
This is the lakes that you're used to.
Okay.
Also, yep, there we go.
Thank you.
That sound means it's time to turn the page to the Liberty Bowl. Wednesday.
I have an before we get to lore, can I offer a quick apology?
Yeah.
It's a slight apology. It's a semi-apology. A listener pointed out that Kansas and Mizzou have agreed to play regular season games, I think 4 of them in the next, like, 10 years or something.
Whatever,
so,
Elia.
Yes, it is happening.
Whatever.
I don't think that precludes the fact that they could have played in a bowl game this year and gotten everybody more excited for...
Yeah, they agreed to play those games when?
I think 2025 is the first one.
No, when did they make that agreement?
Oh, God, I don't even
After
know
After everyone they... called them a baby?
Yes, that sounds about right. Yes.
Yeah. We will declare that's true.
Yes.
Financially, branding-wise, yes, that's the right move. You're still cowards, Mizzou.
It wouldn't ruin those games to have also played this game. That's all. Sorry. Go ahead.
Also, for one thing that I was very, very surprised to see after our talk earlier of, well, you know, home and home games generating revenue. Do you know the Liberty Bowl payout is $6 million?
It ain't bad at all.
To the conferences.
Where did the Liberty Bowl get $6 million?
That's your problem,
FedEx?
Ryan.
I don't know. Not
Don't you worry your pretty little head about where that $6 million came from.
Why did I get $2 million of it in cocaine?
Like, in terms of, like, longevity and sponsorship and location, this is like, it's not the granddaddy of all, but this is like the statesman aunt of them all. This is a really stable game. That game is in Memphis. This fact should alarm people.
The sponsor is a place I've been and heard of, and like... Mm-hmm. If I give them money, I know what they'll give me. So, like, that alone, they're in the top, like, 10% of bowls right
they'll
now.
They'll give you a chicken sandwich.
I also greatly appreciate that the Liberty Bowl is the Utah Jazz of college football. It's, like, the logo is the fucking Liberty Bell. Mm-hmm. Because it started in Philly.
Oh, that part.
There is an alternate history where this game is even rowdier because it originated in Philly. Did you guys know that in 1 year it was also played indoors in the Atlantic City Convention Center?
Yes, because that one was a nightmare. That one
was... In 1964, where it was the first D1 bowl game played indoors. Here, I'm going to read this. This is from a West Virginia article a long time ago that I've been dragging out every year since. AstroTurf, because West Virginia played in this game, they played Utah, they got their asses kicked. AstroTurf was still in its developmental stages and was unavailable for the game. Convention Hall was equipped with a 4-inch thick grass surface with 2 inches of burlap underneath it as padding on top of concrete.
And then they had to bring in, like, huge lights, I think.
Artificial lighting was installed to keep the grass growing and kept on 24 hours a day. The entire process cost $16,000.
Yes.
In 1964.
Just as the New Orleans Jazz moved to Utah and said, nope, name's good. Liberty Bowl made its way to Memphis. Nope, it's fine. Memphis is Philly. Philly is Memphis.
A combined Philly-Memphis DNA Bowl is honestly, it's this in the Sun Bowl for my vote for hardiest genetic makeup of any single bowl. Combined with actual sponsor that sells parts for things, the Liberty Bowl is surviving any apocalypse you throw at it.
Yeah.
I do want to say this, though. It did transfer, which allows me to read a quote involving transfers involving
a
team.
Seamless.
Why is this in the news?
In this game. That would be this. Sam Pittman, coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, when asked about the transfer portal, said this on December 19th. If your wife wants to get in the portal, it's hard to bring her back. At some point, you're going, I'll go replace her. You kind of have to have that mindset. Because then it becomes just, woe is me. Our mindset is whomever decides they'd like to do that, we'd certainly love them and want them to stay. But if they decide to go, then our mindset is, we're going to go replace them. It took you 4 sentences to say something normal, Sam. That's super fucking impressive. 4 sentences to get to normal. If you'd done that in reverse and stopped after the first one, we wouldn't be talking about this.
So you know why this happened, right?
Hmm.
For what feels like decades ago, coaches decided that the best way to talk about Cruton and Cruton abilities was to say, look at my hot wife. That's my best. That's my 5-star. Look at my Cruton skills. I'm a big sloppy mess, and I got this beautiful woman committed to me.
Look what a talented bullshitter I am.
Yes, right. I went to her parents' house, and I've spit lies at them.
I'm admitting it right now, and it won't matter.
Jiggity, jiggity, dang, ding, 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 dong. I feel like I finished with some flourish like that.
So coaches decided that this was the most relatable way to explain how good a recruiter you are.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're pot committed to it. So now all, well, you know, if the wives want to go to the National Labor Relations Board and unionize, I guess you got to let them. Wives maybe have a point about what they do with their images and their likenesses.
But instead of doing the normal thing, Sam Pittman has opened the wife portal.
Is this a part of Avatar 2? I haven't seen it. Is there a wife portal in Avatar 2?
The wife
portal. I think probably. Isn't that? Actually, yeah, that is what it's... Actually, it's a husband portal. Avatar 1 is a husband portal.
James Cameron has opened the wife
portal. I think James Cameron refers to that as the abyss.
Or Terminator 2. James Cameron's opened the wife portal a couple times.
So
okay?
Many times.
You know...
That is how the Terminators travel through time, through the wife portal.
On my way to find love.
No.
Option, find love or kill. I kill. Love
I get into the wife portal, nude. That's what the wife portal requires.
We need you to go find Sarah Connor. Got it. Wife.
Wife.
Give me your clothes, boots, and motorcycle because she really likes Renegade with Lorenzo
Lamas.
But also, Lamas.
That is what happens in Terminator. Is a man, another man travels through the wife portal and fathers a Jesus Christ. Oh, boy.
You open the husband portal. It's just women getting disappointed over and over again. Oh, they just step in and they're like, this room is this awful. This man, you've seen his nails. They're terrible.
Anyway, Dan Mullen is on the play-by-play team for this game, and you never know when he'll freak out and say something weird on the air, so don't act like this is going to stop now.
Who are we rooting for in Kansas, Arkansas?
It's tricky. Liberty. I'm rooting for rooting for America, Ryan. Wow. Actually.
Yeah, not the university, but America. Let's go.
Here's Who am I rooting for? About this game.
Memphis.
Previous MVPs of the Liberty Bowl.
Ooh.
Jim Donnan, Jeff Brohm, Dave Ragone. Is this a covert cradle of coaches?
Cradle of coaches, yes.
Yeah.
Also in MVPs, Doug Flutie won his in a losing game to Notre Dame. As in, Notre Dame beat Boston College in the Liberty Bowl, and the media was like, fuck you, Notre Dame, we're voting for Doug Flutie.
This is justice for when they gave a Heisman. They won the Heisman despite being like 3-10 that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
KJ all because he made one play on national TV. That's it.
There were only like 8 games on TV. If you made one on TV, it was fucking cool.
Yeah, that's 12% of the plays all year.
Imagine the weirdest candidate who could have won that, right? Would it be Nick Marshall for Auburn? Like, in a, where we had 8 games, like Nick Marshall throws.
Where you just sort of saw one thing.
One thing, and you just go, oh, he must be the best player. That guy's incredible.
He threw it to a Georgia defender, and it bounced off him for a touchdown, and that was the greatest thing I ever saw.
Mm-hmm. And some sports writer in a fedora with the word press written on a note card in the side drops his Reuben and is like, oh my God!
I've just dropped a screenshot of what the merch store looks like into the chat.
Please hold. I'm sorry. Let me channel my best Hartzell. Stand by.
It's Memphis. Please let it just be glowing skull t-shirts. Glowing skull
This is just the splash page for the store.
Wow.
I don't even know what that means. What does give them liberty mean?
It suggests that we're unleashing feral hogs and birds upon the general population.
That is what that Alfred Hitchcock movie needed. Like, birds were terrifying. But what if you also couldn't go in the street because
the birds
pigs
had no ground game?
Yep.
So looking at the Jayhawk and the Razorback with the words, give them liberty, I feel I am supposed to liberate the Jayhawk and the Razorback.
Yes. It's sort of
from AutoZone?
It's sort of an extreme Lorax situation.
From the off-center AutoZone Liberty Bowl logo?
What happens if you go into the AutoZone and demand to see the captive feral hog?
Where are the birds? Show me the birds, AutoZone!
It's like reading this is very much like, if you're cold, they're cold. Give them liberty. Mm-hmm.
If you want to continue the imprisonment of the hog and the Jayhawk, one would get in the AutoZone. But if one wanted to experience true freedom, then one would get in the one.
Is that why more of the logo is shifted over towards the right?
Yes.
The AutoZone is nudging us in the favor of Jayhawk liberation. Jayhawk.
Wow. I want to note, if you Google Sam Pittman wife, which any like male celebrity that like you type their name and one of the autocorrects is like, wife, would you like to see his wife's feet? Right? But like, if you do this for
Sam Pittman wife height,
if you're the very first person to ever wonder this without caring to see anyone's feet, it takes you to his wiki page. Sam is married to his wife Jamie. They have no children. Pittman is close friends with former colleague Rex Ryan. Just like rattling these things off and like make a lot of associations here. And we note that Ryan once flew Pittman out to his home to help build a children's fort that Ryan had designed. So Rex Ryan is an architect, and he flies Sam Pittman out to bring his imagination to life.
I want like a Noah Baumbach movie about that weekend.
Coach, I got another one. Come out and whip it together.
I try not
to be... Bring your wife's feet.
I try to give my older child space. I understand that like the world is a dangerous place, and you kind of have to accept that and get used to it, and you can't protect them from everything. I'm not letting my child play on a fort that Rex Ryan designed and built. I'm absolutely not signing off on the Rex Ryan playground trip.
No.
What about Rob Ryan?
Yes, that one is fun, because it'll have more hair to cushion the blows.
It's going to be wacky!
He looks like a sea captain. Like, he just looks seaworthy.
He
looks buoyant, I'll give you that.
I believe that Rex Ryan would not have tested any kind of safety equipment himself, right? He just would have been like, that's fine. Rob Ryan would have gotten drunk and tried it all and been like, yeah, you'll fall real hard up there.
Okay, that's a good point. It's been tested.
You know, don't do that. I broke my tailbones. All of them.
Whereas Buddy Ryan is like, broken tailbones?
Bitch.
Get in there. Get in there, kid. Let me at it.
Tailbones is healthy eating. Hey, speaking of trying it all, you want to see what the top link is under things to do in Memphis?
Please.
You guys ready for this?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very descriptive URL. MemphisEscaperooms.com.
Yes.
Not in 100,000 years.
Yes. You've legally consented to kidnapping. Welcome to Memphis.
Get in the AutoZone. Good luck getting out.
EscapeMemphis.com. EscapeThePyramid.com.
Okay, that's different.
You've been locked in a room with birds and hogs. Welcome. Now you must escape. Is there a puzzle? Nope.
Now you must create a delicious meal.
You just got to get out of there.
The second thing on this tab is the Tennessee vacation guide.
What?
Uh-huh.
No.
Tennessee.
If you're already in Memphis, why would you need to go anywhere else in Tennessee?
The Tennessee vacation guide is Gatlinburg. Exactly. That's it.
If I'm in Memphis, the Tennessee vacation guide is stay fucking put.
Uh-huh. Pyramid's right there.
Yeah, they have it divvied up, by the way, appropriately with the west part of Tennessee, home of the blues, Elvis, rock and roll. The middle is Music City, and the east is just like a train, some mountains, and the sun sphere.
And you mean West Carolina? Got it.
Yeah, I do not.
Look, sir. It's the drowned corpse of an FBI agent. East Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen.
It says birthplace of country music, and I was like, that's a bad thing.
What's
this
the
is the inspiration
about?
For these tales of love fulfilled, non-criminal activity.
Astonishing poverty and
sobriety.
Dangerous home remedies.
Meeting the Lord and not being terrified.
Punching the Lord in the solar plexus.
Let's talk about the year my auntie put a sign on the door of her classroom that said Brushy Mountain Pre-K.
Oh,
a true family story. Hey. You know, I found out long ago.
Oh.
It's a long way down to the Holiday Bowl.
Oh.
Holiday Bowl.
Oh.
Holiday Bowl.
The O is for Oregon, who's playing in this game against North
Carolina. The O is for over under of 73 fucking points.
Woo! Wednesday, December 28th, 8 p.m. Fox, 9-3 Oregon versus 9-4 North Carolina. They would rather play at a baseball stadium than Qualcomm, and I respect that. This is moved to Petco, which is a lovely ballpark. How it will work as a football field? I don't know. How will Max Puffy Coat Energy operate in a legendarily temperate climate? We'll find out. This used to be operated alongside the Poinsettia Bowl. We no longer have a postseason college football contest named for a poisonous houseplant. This is almost as dear a life loss as the Pizza Bowls. A summer activity that is not what you think it is. Is attached to this game. It's called the Donate Life Transplant Games. This is the wrong end of California for you to be worried about losing an organ to a sinister corporation. This is actually a series of athletic contests devoted to transplant patients and their families. But it's not the only thing that's ominously named. The San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl Blood and Food Drive. I'm just reading the literature. Takes place in November.
I'm glad that's a conjunction and not a preposition. The blood for food drive.
It's the ampersand. It's an ampersand. So actually, you can read it a couple different ways.
Do we like it better, blood and food, or food and blood?
Blood food.
Okay.
Blood.
It's a blood food. That also sounds like you're doing it with a lip in. We got us some blood food. No stranger to cruel science experiments, the 1988 edition of this game pitted number 12 Oklahoma State, featuring a guy named Barry Sanders, against 15-ranked Wyoming. That game ended 62-14. Dr. Pepper sponsors the halftime show, which makes sense because from both a climate standpoint and politically, it's probably safe to say Fansville is somewhere in the San Diego metro area. Another hidden cradle of coaches as former MVPs in this game. Major Applewhite, Sonny Cumbie, and Kyle Whittingham. Now let's do what we actually want to do, which is talk about Bo Nix and Mac Brown's puffy coat.
I want to talk about Bo Nix against UNC's defense.
Fuck yeah.
Give me 600
Jason,
yards,
you say
please.
When you say UNC's defense, what do you mean by that? Because I'm not sure I've seen that concept this year.
I mean 600 yards for Bo Nix.
What?
Mac Brown's gonna go up there and he'll be like, "Everybody here, I brought the Navy SEALs in to tell you about toughness. That's what I'm gonna do because they're trained here in San Diego, and I need them to sit here and impart toughness to you." The SEALs will be like, "Here, you gotta be tough, bitch." And then they'll go out.
Thanks, coach.
That's an inspiring word. And then they're gonna go out and be a fucking shower curtain. They're just gonna get run through.
What do you think shower curtains are for?
Running through clumsily.
How do you get in the shower?
Is this like a motivational thing?
I tackle
thing?
The
like
shower
first
every
thing
time.
In the morning. Are you in the shower like? All right, let's go.
Yeah.
They're on the other side, cheering me through. PVC.
Yeah.
They think you can't burst through, and then you do. Boom.
You telling me Jim Harbaugh doesn't literally tackle each day?
God,
he does.
Life. Not for the first time, I thought this.
I don't tackle the day. I'm very fragile.
But I let the day tackle me.
I try to punch the ball away from the day, and if it gets away from me, so be it.
Sad Mac Brown in the shower in his puffy coat. Just soggy.
Warm. What if he comes out in a tank top for this?
Thought I'd drop the top, gentlemen. What if he comes out and he's just yoked, making fun of the whole time.
And heavily, like, Red Dragon tatted as well.
Oh, yeah. Just yoked up, man.
This is my becoming.
I would watch every Hannibal Lecter film recast with Mac Brown.
We live in a primitive time, don't we, Will? Fear comes with imagination. It's a penalty. It's the price of imagination. I am not a man. I'm the great red dragon.
Clarice, are the lambs still screaming?
But like, are you allowed to change any of the script, any of the words that are spoken?
You could tweak it, sure.
Cause like, yeah, we just need him to be like just slightly whiny about he's in jail and oh, it's someone else's fault and all that.
It's not my fault. You thought I was sane.
Open your eyes or I'll staple your eyelids to your forehead.
Mac Brown wouldn't
if
put
there's anything I hate worse than pity, it's fake pity.
The mask I was wearing was not that of a guards, but it was that of a good football team. We are, in fact, a developing football team. It was not my fault that you did not behold the disguise that we put on.
Yeah.
And UNC has lost their offensive coordinator now as well?
You are privy to a great becoming, but you recognize nothing. To me, you are a slug in the sun. You are an ant in the afterbirth. It is your nature to do one thing correctly. Before me, you rightly tremble, but fear is not what you owe me. You owe me all. Sorry.
So disturbing.
Gene Chizik,
Draw
a clock.
Drop it now, Gumshoe.
Oh, boy.
Oregon has lost. Oregon has lost their offensive coordinator.
They don't need an offensive coordinator. They have Bo Nix.
They got
what
Bo Nix, baby.
What effect do you think an offensive coordinator is going to have on what Bo Nix does on the football field? Are you new?
I just want to time travel back to 2 years ago and just look at Bo Nix and be like, listen, you're going to eat so much
shit. It's going to get better, buddy.
Georgia's going to use you as like, you're going to look like a dummy thrown off the top of a building.
Oregon's on offense.
Here's the thing about dummies, Bo. They bounce.
On offense, all the coaches on their sideline should just like exaggeratedly unfold lawn chairs and just like sit down and watch. Hell yeah, Bo.
They should flip the whiteboard on it sideways and just start playing air hockey on it.
So is the over-under for this game double that of the Music City Bowl?
I think it's more.
It's got to be more, right? God damn it.
Yeah, that one is currently 31.
31?
Yeah, which I believe is the lowest bowl ever.
The over-under in this contest is 73 points.
Wait, I have the over-under on the... Oh, sorry. I was looking at the Liberty Bowl.
It's 74 right now, and honestly, I will take that over. I will take the over on 73. I also... Respect to Bo Nix, by the way, for coming back to Oregon for another season and announcing it because, hey, baby, where's the show? Show's right here. The show's right here. Are you thinking about the future? Hell no. I'm thinking about NIL money. I'm thinking about making a decent living in Eugene, Oregon. I'm not going to compete with all this speculative quarterbacking happening. No, established asset Bo Nix. That's what you're going to get in the draft. Next year, some scout is going to have to look at that tape and go,
Colts. Oh,
God. Colts. We might have to draft him. Oh, God.
Colts.
We might have to.
Spencer, Colts. Spencer, walk it out. What does Jim Irsay say when he looks at the same tape?
No, oh, fuck yeah. Jim Irsay. Rock and roll, daddy.
That's the beast right there. That's the son of the beast.
That guy does shit.
The son of the beast. The wolf is loose.
I like when shit happens and that guy's doing it.
His name is Styx. His name is Nix, and that rhymes with Styx, and that's a river in hell, and that's where y'all can meet me.
He's just sweaty in his gym tank top with a heater in the dark going, yeah, daddy.
That's it. Now that's football.
But they're going to have to look, and the scouts are going to have to be like, he's accurate. He's deeply experienced. He's the son of a coach.
Evaluate the full body of work here.
That's right.
Bo Nix knows it's coming, too. He's like, fuckers, you're going to have to.
And then Auburn's going to put up their graphic and be like, NFL quarterbacks made here.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to be like, hey, man, I know you need the money. And he's like, I don't.
Nope.
I don't.
Nope.
I can wait you out.
You know who needed the money? Matt Ryan. And look how that turned out for him. Okay?
He's not
Colts.
The beast. He's don't the beast.
Hey, don't think because this is not Split Zone Duo that we're what? Not going to note that the Colts blew a 33-point lead.
Okay,
we will.
Ryan, I want to put to the group the discussion point that you and I had earlier.
Sure.
Is this past weekend the greatest hatering weekend in NFL history, or
it's
at least
real.
In the postseason?
It's real high up there. Let's run it down. We got Colts blow 33-point lead to the Vikings. With Jeff Saturday as the coach.
Which means, by the way, that Frank Reich no longer owns the comeback record.
The biggest comeback, correct, yes.
We have the Cowboys losing to the Jags in an OT pick six.
Correct. After themselves blowing, I think, a 17-point lead.
And then we have what the Patriots did.
We have what the Patriots did. Lost in all of this is that Tom Brady turned the ball over four times,
yeah,
and they lost his angles.
So this is kind of what I'm getting at. I'm not counting about specific teams and specific fandoms, but if you are like a generalist hater,
yeah,
is this your greatest NFL weekend of your life?
Does it have to be framed as hatred?
Like, I mean, like the jolly sort of hatred, like as in haterating, as in hateration,
sure,
in the dancery.
If you just like problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're reveling in chaos and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's more the way I approach it.
I think this is probably it. Then. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean hate in the poisonous. I meant hate as in like hating on.
No, I got it.
Yeah.
Any weekend where you have the biggest blown lead in NFL history, and a member of the New England Patriots saying, I threw a lateral because Mac Jones was open.
Fuck it. Mac Jones down there somewhere.
Somewhere.
What was Mac Jones doing at this exact moment? Getting truck sticked.
Trying to draw a charge.
He fell over like quap. Yes.
He did.
Evaluating it historically, I'd want to actually like go through and look because, I mean, it's been a lot of weekends, but it's surely up there. It's surely a delightful
time.
Is
this something we can explore for the offseason? Because I want to do one of those June 16th, 1994 documentaries about this weekend. Because it's, you know, that concept that people keep hammering and like, oh, football is better when the Cowboys and Patriots are both good. I disagree. Football is better when the Cowboys and Patriots are both doing this.
Duval. Anyway, that's the Holiday Bowl.
The Texas Bowl. The Tax Act Texas Bowl. Wednesday,
that's
December
a terrible
28th.
Name. God.
Yep. It is. Wednesday, yep. December 28th, 9 p.m. ESPN. Not even the most famous tax prep software bowl on the slate, but two schools who love both taxes and congressional acts, Texas Tech and Ole Miss. Played at NRG Stadium. Billed as the only rodeo and NFL indoor-outdoor retractable roof stadium. Thank you, NRG Stadium. We are back to games owned by ESPN, if you can't tell by the aesthetics and the presence of tax prep software. I personally respect the Texas Bowl, at least from a legal standpoint, because they encourage you very strongly to tailgate via the website, and I have a ton of really specific rules, like how high the flames can be and how your propane tanks have to be tuned, and you can tell that a number of people with really specific opinions on what the safest and unsafest cooking implements were all had their hands in making this policy. Downside, you can't bring in weapons to the Texas Bowl.
Yeah, nothing. I mean, when you say Texas Tax Act, I assume that means mailing the IRS a knife, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, not only is there a clear bag policy at this stadium, fuck y'all, but you can't bring in weapons. Also, if you were unclear yet as to whether or not this was a lawyer-in-ass lawyer's bowl, on the prohibited item list is a specific item that I've never seen listed in this way anywhere else. Footballs brought in from outside.
Multi-ball.
Huh.
Way to nail us to a corner.
Wait. Does that mean that I can buy...
I have to think.
50 to 75 footballs in the stadium and throw them one by one onto the field?
I have to think. Also, I made a... I'm going to floss for a second. I made a discovery while looking up the... I guess they've just passed this down, and it's gotten telephone gamed over the years. My name is no longer on it. But the Texas Bowl website still quotes me calling the rodeo unassailably the best bowl week diversion by Sports Illustrated, which technically did appear on Sports Illustrated website by me in like 2011. They have a rodeo prior to the game that the teams participate in, as in it's a bunch of football players chasing cows. I'm not sure there's a bigger mismatch than Texas Tech and Ole Miss in Texas Bowl history in terms of who is fit and who is not to chase a bunch of cows around a rodeo arena. But I will drop the YouTube link here in the chat from a previous year. All the players have to wear, you know, neckerchiefs and cowboy hats and chase a bunch of baby cows around an arena, and it's the cutest damn thing. There should be rodeos before every game, in my opinion.
So I'm going to regret saying this. Are you telling me there's a possibility that Lane Kiffin will leave this game owning a pair of chaps?
Or taking home, like, hey, second. this is my cow, Francis. He's a good hang.
Yeah.
Why would Lane Kiffin not already own chaps?
I was going to say a second pair of chaps.
Okay, that's fair. Say. That's what he wears in the wife portal.
Yeah,
that's how
you find success in the wife portal. Does the winner here claim some sort of responsibility for Tommy Tuberville beyond what they already are settled with?
Pine box. There's a pine box trophy that
with Tommy Tuberville's rotting corpse inside.
Ashes from Tommy Tuberville's campaign bus in it.
Although the relic, worst relic ever.
I'm going to love this contrast of styles, by the way, because Lane Kiffin on one side of the press conference is going to be like, well, it's cool. You know, it's like, it's a really nice trip. Just happy
and
for the
kids. And
here's Joey. Joey McGuire on the other side is like, every one of you is a coward.
A man with the courage to live every day is Joey.
Come fight sons me. Of bitches.
Come
step
fight
up
me
right
now. Dirty piece of shit. I'm
Joey McGuire from Lubbock, Texas.
And Lake is like, yeah, I am a pretty
unknown.
Dirty piece of shit. Thanks for noticing.
I've been working on my self-talk.
No, I found a Google image search of a Bible verse and said I'm not.
Really,
I'm
going to
post it right now.
Turns out it's from Lord of the Rings,
Nick
but it's still pretty good. So
I wake up pissing butane!
You know, nobody told me the Celestine prophecy like had so much negative baggage attached to it.
What I do is I get I search my name on Google and I find the first article in the news and I hit the tweet button on the article and then I don't change the text at all. So I post from my own account like Lane Kiffin comments on Texas Bowl, and that's my entire tweet from my account.
Joe McGuire's idea: social media spray paint bitch on your car when you're not looking.
Your car is my website now.
How you like that post?
At.
Mods.
Just a series of ampersands, like in looping, not ampersands, at signs in looping cursive from front to back.
They named their team after losers. Mods, come see what I did to the Ole Miss's bus.
I know it's not called like Ole Make.
I know he's not like that all the time, but in my head, Joey McGuire is always the dude who looked at Texas like, told you they would break.
You're never going to go to Lubbock. He might as well live this way in your head.
I mean, at least he's given us a character trait to expand into the only thing we know about current Texas Tech.
I'm
so, like, thank you
this.
For that. Otherwise, I would have to know something about what Texas Tech did this year. What's that? They beat Texas. That's pretty good.
We have built entire simulacrums of coaches around way less than what Joey McGuire gave us.
They out Iowa State.
They also beat Oklahoma. So did everyone, to be clear.
Except Oklahoma State.
Do you think Joey McGuire has a Hannah impossible. Montana? And if so, what would its name be?
Danny Montana.
Thank you. Thank you. That was right there. Oh, I wish I could play these chimes in a minor key. Oh. Bad news. Pinstripe Bowl. Good news. Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl.
For those lawns of New York.
I've chosen to believe that it's like homage to the famously manicured turf of a baseball stadium.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
This is a mismatch. Bad Boy Mowers, you have snowboarded in the wrong direction. Snowboarded in the wrong direction. I assume you also all know how to snowboard. Please come home. Thursday, December 29th, 2 p.m., ESPN, Yankee Stadium, New York's college football team. Syracuse in New York's finest college football venue, playing Minnesota, 8-4. Oh, God, I bet PJ Fleck has a series of monologues about New York. Pinstripe Bowl retains longtime legendary status to me because they have, I think, what I believe to be the most powerful dignitaries, the most powerful bowl board member in the game. I have seen a Pinstripe Bowl rep at an LSU-Bama game. Back in a year when both those teams meant something. The official URL for this game is www.mlb.com/Yankees/pinstripe-bowl.
Jesus.
If you want to know how seriously they're taking this thing. And despite being sponsored by Yeti, you were only allowed to bring soft-sided bags into the stadium. Pinstripe
What's
Bowl
sponsored
is not
by
valid.
Yeti here?
The game.
And Bad Boy Mowers.
Yeti is not a title sponsor. They are a game sponsor. I only know this because their ad appeared directly below a line that says you can only bring a soft-sided bag into the stadium.
Oh, so it's not the Bad Boy Mowers Bowl at the Pinstripe Bowl brought to you by Yeti.
No, that would be a vast improvement, at least in vibes, if nothing else.
In true, the Yankees are bullshit, and so is this bowl. Mm-hmm. The Yankees infamously play in the Bronx. It's like one of their most defining features. The official team hotels of the Pinstripe Bowl are in Times Square. Because
Sure.
You really want to make sure it's going to take your team 45 minutes just to get on and off the bus.
Hey, listen. I want to see the naked cowboy, all right? I promised my mom I'd take a picture with him.
Oh, God. PJ Fleck is the naked cowboy. We should have all seen this coming.
So,
Hi, Betty.
A recent history of Syracuse ball games. There's this thing, anyone who's ever tried to figure out where teams might end up in bowl season, there's a thing you run into, particularly with the Big Ten and the ACC. They have very fussy, not only tiers that teams can fall into, but also rules about who can go where and what. It's to avoid having a team go to the same bowl or play the same team from the other conference, you have to, like, hope for a lot of shit toward the end of these lists. And there's probably no better example for this than Syracuse's bowl opponents. Their last 10 games, they have played West Virginia twice. They are now playing Minnesota twice within just their last 10 bowls, and they played Kansas State three times. So most of their last 10 bowls have been against the same three teams. Their last two, in fact, are West Virginia, Minnesota. Like, that's what happens when you're like just good enough to go like 6-6 every like 3 years, you're gonna end up with this kind of shit.
That's what happens
if you're in a conference that is like that
team.
Overly organized.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask what musical PJ Fleck was going to take the team to see. I included Playbill's What's Currently Playing on Broadway. I will entertain your guesses after you've looked. I have gone ahead. I will submit mine first. I think that he's going to pull a wild card on all of you and take them to see Tina, the Tina Turner musical.
I think he's going to go see Six, the musical, because that's how many points you get for a touchdown.
Shit.
That's the right answer.
I think he's going to pull a completely different kind of wild card and take them all to Some Like It Hot because it sounds motivational, not knowing what it's about.
Sure. Sure.
Chicago sounds...
It's set in Chicago, so...
Yeah.
Mm. So are there multiple Chicago plays on this list, then?
Oh, yeah, he could go to actual Chicago-ass Chicago.
Yeah, I think Chicago, because he's like, that's a great Midwestern town.
Minnesota is Chicago's college football team, it's true.
It's a hard-working musical.
Ugh. We're done here, right?
Yeah.
I think the connection to New York is, of course, Bad Boy Records. That's what I'm choosing to
do. Okay.
What other record label would we most like to see start up their own line of lawnmowers?
No Limit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was right there, wasn't it?
I cut myself very badly. It's on the name.
It's more Wait, lawnmower
oh, folks,
for your money.
Do we have halftime?
Oh, folks.
Do we have halftime?
It's halftime.
Yes.
It's halftime. And that means it's time for podcast business.
Podcast business. Podcast business. What's a business? It's a business. Podcast business. We're gonna sell stuff. Here's the stuff we're gonna sell. And it's good and you need to go buy it.
All right, who's going first?
Let's see. One note. The Sinful Seven, the book that Spencer and I, along with Alex Kirshner, Richard Johnson, and Tyson Whiting did 2.5 years ago, I think now, has been available as an ebook for this entire time. And it is currently available for the low, low price of free as of December 20th, 2022. It is at sinful7.com. You can go download it. It is yours forever. And then as of Christmas 2022, we are unlisting it. Will we ever list it again anywhere, make it available in any form or format? We don't know. How should we know? Your guess is as good as ours. But if you don't have it, go download it for free. And that's a little Christmas gift for you. Also, we are tired of doing the accounting for it. But but it's a Christmas gift for you.
The true reason why Santa does all his gift giving.
It's a write-off.
Oh, fuck, running a toy store is fucking exhausting. What if I just give this shit away?
Despite our collective attitude towards business, that book is incredible and incredibly funny and insightful. And I just said the word insightful, but I meant it.
You get it for free. You give it to somebody. You tell them it costs $57.
Yeah, and it's then out you of look print. Like a big fucking baller. Yeah,
you say get, it's you out get, of print.
Oh, yeah, it's vintage.
First edition, no less.
Yeah. That's right.
If you have read it, throw us a Goodreads review. Why not? That'll be fun. A FAQ. People have asked, like, if Twitter dies, which website are we going to? We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, stop asking us that.
We don't. I mean, we don't know anything.
If Twitter dies, we're going to the mall. We will pick one mall every week to go hang out at, and you can come hang out with us if you want. It'll probably be in Chattanooga most of the time because that's Midway.
Chattanooga rules. Everyone loves Chattanooga.
Hamilton Place Mall in Chattanooga. There.
Great. That's where we're going. If Twitter dies, meet us at the Hamilton Place Mall.
Chattanooga Mall. We'll take advantage of Chattanooga's free high-speed citywide internet.
That's right, server. You got to meet us there too. You've committed to it. Sorry.
I think I'm closest, frankly.
Server might be closer to Chattanooga than most of us.
This is perfect.
Everyone's close to Chattanooga via the life portal.
Ryan, do you want to do a quick update on what's going on with the store for people who missed your Twitter thread?
Yes, if you go to preownedairboats.com, you will see that there is no merch available to you as of right now. Whenever you get this, it'll probably be like December 21st or so.
It still does have the giant photo that says Spencer cannot swim.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some things important that we can't abandon. We are working on moving to a new merch store host. We should have that ready by January, hopefully the start of January, if not shortly thereafter. Most of the things you liked that we had before will still be there in the new store, but we're getting some things organized. We'll have some new stuff as well. But yes, for now, probably should have announced it on the show before we closed it. Whoops, didn't do that. Store's closed. And also, if you wanted an uncle mug, yep, those are gone too. That was a limited time thing.
This
Thank you to
you
everybody
get for
who
not
bought
following
one.
Ryan on Twitter. Sorry.
Correct. Thank you to everybody who bought one. We're going to be giving a donation to the Atlanta Free Fridge in the order of, like, I think almost $800 at this point, mm-hmm. which is very dope. And we appreciate all of you who bought one. Uncle Skip for graciously allowing us to steal his vibe for the purposes of putting it on a mug. And I think that's it.
Spencer, Jason, do you guys have any Patreon adjacent news that you want to share?
Oh, as always, you can subscribe to Holly and I's outstanding newsletter, Channel 6, where you can find
award-winning
one of our bios.
Award-winning.
Award.
Wait, what?
Winning.
Just say it. Just say it. It won't come.
It sounds like Ryan has just given you an award.
Correct.
Oh,
yes.
I did. You've won
most notable newsletter of the Shutdown Fullcast universe this year. Jason, you'll get it next year.
Thank you. I feel like Jimbo Fisher right now.
An influential member of the Waffle House family has determined.
Wait, that actually makes, I think that might make Spencer Ogeron, which is super appropriate.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
How do you?
Spencer, were you done with that? With that
just that one, I had to sneeze, so thank you.
Okay.
Two.
Sorry.
Yeah, two, that yes, at Channel 6 you can get two things a week. The paid tier is $10, and you receive all of our two things a week. 52
Don't worry about what those things are right now.
A year. The things are great right
Don't
now.
Worry
are you
about
kidding
that.
Me? They're outstanding. Including our holiday posts, which include Holly just cooking her way through the nightmares of the Christmas toy recipes and our criminal conspiracy theory about Home Alone. Which
we've
is that it's
we've
all
kind
about
of started
white
to do
crime.
An annual series on Home Alone. Last year's was called "I Would Never Get Home Alone" and was just a list of reasons why Kevin McAllister would not fool us personally. This year we go a little bit deeper, examining Peter McAllister as an obvious white collar criminal.
So you're working your way up the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jason, what's going on at Bible school?
Vacation Bible School podcast. We just posted our David and Goliath episode. That's how far we have made it. This is an exciting episode for a couple of reasons. One being it's the first story in this entire 20-ish episode series in which I think pretty much everyone like knows the basic story, in which Sunday school didn't completely lie to you about what's in there. This podcast is not like, I think some people sometimes have the idea this is like Sunday School, the podcast. No, it's the opposite. Sunday School is a lie. The podcast is what this is. We also have a guest, Dr. Andrew Whitehead, on to explain Christofascism. So it's a fun two-part episode there for you.
Is David and Goliath the first sports in the Bible?
Oh, shit.
Okay, let's think here.
Is murder a sport?
I mean, Cain and Abel.
Yeah, if Cain and Abel were, if that was the invention of MMA,
should have tapped, man. Should have fucking tapped.
No, the first sport is
dick punchers.
Jacob and the Angel all night MMA.
You're right. Okay.
Angel, quote fingers, might be Esau, might be God, call it an
but
angel.
David and Goliath
at the National Guard Armory.
David and Goliath is the invention of lacrosse.
Yeah,
it's the first projectile sport, I believe.
David is the original Lax Bro.
I think David is the first high ally player in the Bible.
It is a complete fantasy because it is a Lax Bro versus football bro fight, and the Lax Bro wins because he's like a winged bull so hard, dude, it fucking killed him. In real life, Goliath is absolutely giving him a backbreaker, right?
Yeah, Goliath is like, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
No fair. We said no projectiles.
It's like
this is a Zangief versus Ryu, like right, like
yeah.
I said no fireballs. Also, I like that this is far more sports than have ever been discussed on VBS, like in total. Like sometimes I think people think that show is like sports jokes about religion. No, there's no sports
that's
content whatsoever.
Show.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If you want sports jokes about religion, you come here, not there. You go there because you hate sports. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, you have Spencer on, and that would fix a lot of things, but it would also make a lot of things worse.
It would make a lot of things worse. I will speak on that.
I mean, not fix a lot of things. It would fix the sports things, but it would make everything else worse.
When y'all get there, I'm supposed to be on for Ecclesiastes. Which I'm very excited about because it is the only book of the Bible that I find personally relatable.
Why is
it's relatable to everyone? That one in particular.
Yeah. because it's the one that's like, I don't know. It's crazy,
that's crazy, man.
It's a whole book of that's crazy, man.
It's the one that debunks everything people say. Whenever someone says, the Bible clearly says X, Y, Z, you just hand him Ecclesiastes. Now nothing is clear. Surrender. I win, you lose.
There's a time for everything. This is, by the way, Ecclesiastes is how I justify all of my scheduling all the time. Because they're like, hey, you should be doing this. And it's 3:45 in the afternoon. And you're eating cinnamon candy out of a mason jar again. And I'll be like, there's a time for eating cinnamon candy out of a mason jar. A time for love.
The oldest man in the world.
Wait, are you eating like that Meemaw candy?
Yeah.
Where's the jar? Let us see it.
Pappy's just eating his cinnamon candy out on the porch. Don't bother him. Don't bother Pappy.
It's in the Bible. Don't bother him. There's a time for that.
I'm shitting candy canes over here.
He farted, sorry. And it made the house smell better.
Also, if you have even more license to do this, if you say, like, the Bible says as long as I get my work done for the day, I can do whatever I want. That's Ecclesiastes, yeah. Like the Protestant work ethic. No, brother. Ecclesiastes says, "I've been here 8 hours. I'm getting the fuck on. I'm getting drunk.
Yeah,
I ain't working overtime. Don't email me.
It's Tim Heidecker's work from home, but in verse form. Right? Call if you need me. I wouldn't be much use anyway.
Call if you need me. I won't be answering. I will be drunk, as the Bible stipulated.
It's my favorite book because it's the craziest mystic coming from somewhere down in the plateau from Nepal being like, hey, you guys got some stuff going on. Let me lay some truth on you. By the way, can I get a sandwich? I could really use a sandwich. Sandwiches are good. That's part of my religion now.
Yeah, it's like the monk returns from the mountains. What have you learned? What can you teach us? I'm so fucking hungry.
I've learned that it's cold up there.
I hear they got 2 for $1 margs.
Do you know God doesn't talk to you up there either? It's crazy.
He does if you get drunk enough.
Yeah. Anyway, Vacation Bible School is the greatest podcast about religion on the internet. I mean that sincerely.
It's a good church.
So I might just paste in that audio and just get Ecclesiastes out of the way now.
Yeah, knock it out of the way.
That's the Protestant work ethic.
Yeah.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little band called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Uh-oh. What's that noise? Are we turning the page? Oh, folks. We are following up the Pinstripe Bowl, a bowl that we don't really like, with a bowl that we absolutely love.
False God.
Yeah.
It's the Cheez-It Bowl.
False God.
Let's talk about a graven idol. Let's talk about the Cheez-It Bowl.
God!
This is the other Cheez-It Bowl.
Okay, hang on, hang on. I gotta get there. Hang on. Okay. There's an asterisk next to Cheez-It Bowl. Here is the entire thing I have to say about the Cheez-It Bowl. All right, here's the entirety of my notes. I have 7 single-spaced pages of lore about today's games. Here is the Cheez-It Bowl. It's called Disambiguation. Not to be confused with the Citrus Bowl, which is also sponsored by Cheez-It. For the Arizona Bowl game sponsored by Cheez-It in 2018 and 2019, see Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Camping World Bowl redirects here. For the similarly named stadium, see Camping World Stadium. We're into the FCS series of games now, which is not the FCS football division, but rather Florida Citrus Sports, longtime friend of the program. This game is previously known as the Sunshine Classic, the Blockbuster Bowl, the Micron PC, and MicronPC.com Bowl. Various Tangerine Bowls, but not the one you're thinking of. The Champ Sports Bowl, the Russell Athletic Bowl, and the Camping World Bowl. Further confusing is that it used to be played in Miami Gardens in Joe Robbie Stadium, which itself has since been called Pro Player Park, Pro Player Stadium, Dolphins Stadium, Dolphin Stadium, Landshark Stadium, and Sun Life Stadium, now Hard Rock Stadium. There is a reason we usually go insane while trying to record all these previews at once. The Tangerine Bowl was also the original name of the Citrus Bowl, which is not this game. This is all I have to say about the Cheez-It Bowl.
Didn't even include Mazda as one of the sponsors.
And listen, I didn't want to confuse things.
I like that this is the bowl that has had several sponsors.
All right, Oklahoma
and
Florida State are in this, and Oklahoma is 6-6, and that's hilarious. There.
Yeah.
This is not the good Cheez-It Bowl.
That's correct.
Thank you for listening to the asterisk. Anybody want to talk about this?
No.
Woo! Alamo Bowl!
Hell yes!
Okay, I have... you know how I had a thing for the... You know how I dropped the picture of the merch store for the Liberty Bowl into the chat? Well, here's another one. I didn't make this. This is real.
Remember the merchandise. Merchandise, all caps. This is stealing so much valor.
Does that mean people died at the merchandise?
it's pretty wild there.
There, this is up to the merchandise that fought the Mexican army for the preservation of slavery. I don't know. So this is, we're up to a tier of merch where you can buy woven Afghans and soccer scarves for this game. Thursday, December 29th, 9 p.m. ESPN, Texas versus Washington. Somehow still located in the Alamo Dome, which I maintain should be turned into a laser tag arena. Somehow not played in the Alamo Bowl. I don't know if they're going to SeaWorld this year, but in past years, players have competed in sit-up contests against walruses, which is always
sit-up contests?
Uh-huh. Walruses apparently have been trained to do tummy curls, and the players would compete against them. That's not on the website this year. Maybe someone injured an ab. Here is another game that is sponsoring its own pub crawl. The party starts at the Little Rhine Prost House and will end, no further information, with several lucky crawlers getting a ride in a river cruiser with the Alamo Bowl trophy.
I only have one complaint about the pub crawl.
I don't know
crawl.
If they have to form their own republic or fight the Mexican army. Or no further information on what wins and what happens at the end of this river cruise is given.
My only complaint is this. Mm. The pub crawl is not on the evening of December 28th. It says it ends at 10 p.m. That's not really a pub crawl, but it doesn't have to end there. On December 27th, they have the FCA breakfast, and I think they should have switched the order of those things. I think it would have been a much more interesting FCA breakfast if you did it. After,
yes. Immediately after the pub crawl.
Fellowship of crack and egg in this glass.
I've returned, by the way, with Meemaw candy. Yes.
You were gone? Jesus. Oh, hey.
Meemaw candy.
Oh, wow. That is nuclear.
Your farts must be terrible.
Terrible. Fragrant.
This is a game in which 10-win Washington is ranked 8 spots ahead of 8-win Texas, and Texas is favored because a fun thing that happened this year is Texas lost, like, kind of a lot of bullshit games. Like, they're kind of really good, yeah. But their record is terrible. Like, remember, this team almost beat Alabama.
Texas is underrated?
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy this moment. Yeah. This has been a thing all season long. The computers are like, God damn, Texas is incredible. They keep losing. I don't understand how. And the polls are like, oh, good. Thank God someone else is overrating Texas for once. But for the first time in history, Texas is underrated.
Texas is the most hidden value. Washington, I believe, is slightly overrated. This is somehow a testament to both teams' success this year. That's the weird thing is you go, yeah, Washington's probably overrated coming in, and Texas is obviously, like, hidden value, and I don't know, both of them did a pretty good job this year. We're always going to make fun of Texas, but there's some basic fundamental quality there. And Washington under Kalen DeBoer in year one, Michael Penix is coming back just to, like, break every passing record they had because, they could go. They could score.
Yeah. Washington is really good. Like, honestly, this is the citrus, like, there's a few games that always have the potential to be, like, the best game outside the New Year's Six. This is probably better than at least one or two of the New Year's Six games this year.
Washington, by the way, averaging 40, capable of hanging half 100 on a bad team, capable of hanging 40 on a pretty good team. They rack it up.
Yeah, this is, I think, this is, sorry. We could keep
Jason,
ringing this.
Jason, no, fine. Come back.
Oh, God, he's in the wife portal now.
He's
in the wife portal now.
I've been wife portaled. Am I now welcome Sam Pittman's wife? Is that what happened?
Yep. Congrats.
I'll be using you to travel through time, Jason. We will see wives of history, wives in need of love, companionship, someone who's a partner. We will be naked, I promise.
Thank goodness. Me, Arnold, and Sam Pittman.
I will look beautiful. You will look acceptable. Having all of your teeth is a strong turn-on for women of the 13th century.
So is Arnold my, like, time-traveling wingman?
I am the time-traveling wingman.
Yes. Wow.
Come with me if you want to love.
Oh, good. We're exiting the wife portal. Thank God.
Oh, we made it. Wife... And where did it spit us out?
Well, the Mayo Bowl.
Go back. Wow. Go back in the wife portal.
Well, you don't want to hear about 7-5 Maryland versus 8-4 NC State?
Exit light.
Haven't they already played three times this year?
It's true. And they are conference mates. So, yeah, this is a weird matchup.
NC State ended up in 8-4, huh?
That's crazy.
That's crazy, man. Oh,
but wait, they'll probably be 8-5.
Shout out to our friends at the Charlotte Sports Foundation for a game that no matter what happens, we'll always have a cooler full of mayonnaise dumped on somebody at the end.
Both coaches are in, by the way, for this year. They are.
This is a real. They're building something special there. This is a game that has an unprecedented series of sad sponsors, like Continental Tire Bowl, Monica Car Care Center Bowl, and the Belt Bowl. No, this is an upgrade. We're going in one direction.
The Dave Doran years at NC State, especially the last six or so, are a delight because you look at their their AP poll history. You see their preseason poll, usually not ranked.
Looks like
this year they were. You see their high. You see their high, and it's like, oh shit, they were ranked 12th, 10th. Look at that. And then you see their postseason rank, and it's unranked. No ranks.
Yeah, it's the same sentence, but a different sentiment. So you see the postseason rank, you're like, oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's, over the past 6 years, high of 14 and 23rd. High of 16, unranked. It includes a high of 23, unranked. High of 18, 20. High of 10, probably unranked.
We're going to get good players, and we're going to make sure that they stay at NC State. And then Devin Leary transfers out of NC State after a successful year where most people regarded him as NFL draft worthy, and he ends up at Kentucky. That's what happens. NC State loses their quarterback to Kentucky.
We are going to get pretty good players, and they will be drafted. One way or the other. Will
NC
they win
State
games?
NC State is the guy who won't leave the blackjack table. It's like, oh shit, man, you won $800. He's like, well, I better stay because maybe $1,000 is out. Ah, shit, I've lost $70. Oh well, I'll come back to Vegas next year and things
with
will be different.
$70 more. Yeah, like these records for Dave Doran: 8-5, 7-6, 7-6, 9-4, 9-4, 4-8, 8-4, 9-3, 8-4. That is awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, no.
And like you never like
symmetry to it.
At least I have never heard, and I feel like we've been saying this already for like 5 years, like I don't think anyone's actually tired of this at NC State. It feels like they know how bad things can get, and they're just like kind of fine with this.
Yeah.
This counts as stability for them.
Tommy Bowden is in the corner saying, "Son of a bitch, did it."
If I'm sure there are NC State fans who are like, we're the sleeping giant. We should be 10-2. Blah blah blah. But like, they are held in check apparently by NC State fans who are just like, yeah, man. As long as we like fuck up North Carolina every other year, that's fine.
They're held in check in Lauren Brownlow's mentions, which is the only place I ever see them. And there's like four of them.
Even if you go back into like the entirety of Tom O'Brien's tenure there, the like. Everything except the one good year with Chuck Amato. It's like so many 7-8 win seasons. Like 7-8-9, those are doable. 5 is doable sometimes. 6, absolutely. Like never really. It's not unlike sort of like the perpetual 8 seed in the NBA, where you're like, well, you're making the playoffs a lot, but you also went like 42-40. So I don't know how good this is. I don't know. Maybe we'll get a draft pick.
Bringing up split zone duo again, but you ever look at Russell Wilson now and wonder why he and Tom O'Brien did get along better?
I think it was because Russell Wilson chose the wrong Russell Wilson to be. Like the computer in his brain said, opt to Russell Wilson 2. And it turns out that Russell Wilson 3 would have gotten along a lot better. And once you're locked in with the Russell, you can't switch Russell channels.
It's okay. Tom O'Brien now, I wonder.
It is wild to like look at this team that is almost never bad and yet has never had a top 10 finish, has never, you know, won a big bowl. I don't think they have a conference title in forever, but like
about
it's really impressive, honestly, to be this okay forever.
Sort of the like they are the Ohio State of 8 wins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good God.
Like anybody can win 8 games at NC State.
Brother, I do not think that is true.
Historically, though, I think that's
what everyone does. They're like a perpetual satisfactory result generator. Like C+ forever.
I want to recast the other like partner here in this bowl as that team because right now.
Maryland?
You're saying you're back in the wife portal.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm just going to say this. Maryland, you went 7-5. Brother, these are the salad days. I think you should just lock this in. You should fucking book it. 7-5, 8-4. One of you might go, well, I don't know. I think we could be better. You need to shut the fuck up.
No.
Sit down. No, 8-4. These are the good days.
Stop making so much noise. You're going to get noticed.
If Maryland win this, if this is where they're at. If Maryland wins this game, they will have their most wins in a single season since the year they fired Ralph Regan.
That's what I'm saying.
The vengeance of the fridge is finally lifted.
Like as much as Rutgers is sort of like only one man can win here, and the like that's kind of true of Maryland and Ralph Regan. Because you look at everybody who came before him, and you look at everybody. Bobby Ross is the other person who can win at Maryland, unfortunately. Mm. But like, yeah, it's.
Well, there's Jim Tatum in the 1950s.
Yeah, apologies to him.
I need you to extend Mike Locksley for the next 10 years and lock in 7-5 and 8-4 because that would be way better than everything that came before it. And I'm not even joking. This like, is it, man. Celebrate.
If you can get there, if you can become the NC State of the Big Ten, that's not the worst.
Hmm. What a ghastly sentence that is entirely accurate.
It's kind of accurate, though.
It's entirely accurate, yeah.
No, that's not Iowa. Iowa often ascends to heights too high
Correct.
To be.
Iowa has been Damn. To the Big Ten championship game multiple yeah. times.
No, this is Iowa is far too years. Lofty and glorious to be NC State.
They need to breathe yes. the thick yeah. air of the
Yes.
Lowlands.
That's
yes.
right. Kirk
like, it's not Wisconsin. They've been way better than NC State. You know, like every conference doesn't have an NC State.
No.
Maybe might be the interesting thing, you know?
No, I think most conferences don't have an NC State because NC State the teams special. That do that either will have like one or two years where it's like, oh shit, they got good, or they just bottom completely the fuck out. And yeah. NC State is neither. NC State is the prop engine commuter plane that just keeps circling. We're not crashing and we're not going up either.
Congratulations to the Spider-Man Bowl.
Mayonnaise spiders.
Oh.
Chimes. Chimes.
Oh, folks. We're down to the grand uncle of them all. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. Sure, that's a thing we can call it.
Yep.
Friday, December 30th, 2 p.m. CBS. Oh, number 18 UCLA at 9-3 meets my personal favorite ever Sun Bowl participant, Pitt, at 8-4. You're going to hear a lot about it. You're going to hear about it from us first. Pitt has a history in this game, most specifically in 2008, of losing to Oregon State 3-0. Pat Narduzzi considers this a quality win and is probably going to make it part of their pregame speech. The Sun Bowl is refreshing because, once again, here's a serial mascot, which is at least identifiable. It is a game called the Sun Bowl, played in the Sun Bowl. It is attached to UTEP, home to the famed Handjob Hill. I personally have a hairdryer from this game that was given out in, like, 2009 as free swag that still works. This country used to make things. The Sun Bowl is, like, I think, one of the platonic ideal bowls of what bowls turn into. Like, you don't maybe necessarily think of El Paso as a vacation destination, and a whole bunch of different disparate activities have sprung up around it. There's a pageant that produces the Sun Court. There is charm camp for the young
Sun
girls.
Court.
There's a yes, that's much, much more ominous than Rose Court.
The court of the sun god.
Hail to Ra, the Sun Court God. There's a cheerleading convention. There's an art exhibit that opens. There's a parade sponsored by an injury law firm. This is, folks, this is what bowls should be. The Sun Bowl is perhaps most famed for the weather. The 1974 game where the field frosted overnight and then melted in the first half, creating a creepy belt of fog around the players' knees. And then I think it was it snowed in 2015, but I think the game we're thinking of is in 2010 when it snowed at the Sun Bowl and they turned cafeteria tables onto their sides and tried to plow the field manually. And then the TV cameras caught one poor Notre Dame staffer trying to clear it with a rake. Just a beautiful series of historical images that have come out of this game. Unfortunately, they'll now be subjected to this iteration of Pitt football, but we love our Panthers anyway, don't we, boys?
So the Sun Bowl is, it has the weirdest history of any bowl game. And like, that is with consideration of all of them.
I just found
a post I did a few years ago, like the weirdest game in the history of every bowl. And for almost all of them, I just listed one for the Sun Bowl. I listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 contenders, including like, there is a game between Texas Southwestern and the National Autonomous University of Mexico, in which one of the teams threw for negative 25 yards per pass completion. No one knows what that's all about. Just like weird shit. I think possibly my favorite Sun Bowl fact other than those games is Texas Tech has been here the most times, 9 times. The El Paso High School All-Stars have been here once. They have the same number of wins.
Yes.
Texas Tech is 1-8. El Paso High School All-Stars are undefeated in the,
I think,
second longest running bowl game at this point. Pitt and UCLA are tied for 4th in most Sun Bowl appearances.
Yes.
Pitt. Texas Tech, UTEP, Arizona State, those make sense. Sure. Pitt, why not?
I am most fond, personally, of December 31st, 2007. That would be Oregon versus South Florida. That is the game the morning after a night out on the town in Juarez, where the entire USF offense pretty much went out and tore it up, and Matt Grothy was puking on the sideline because he was so hungover. That is my favorite Sun Bowl by far.
But if his mouth was full of vomit, he couldn't rap, so had that going for us.
There was also this bowl had a 3-0. This bowl had a negative 25 yards per pass completion. This game also had Kyle Orton throwing 74 times. The all-time record for most passes in a bowl game between two teams, because they were playing Washington State, which also chucked the ball all over the place. They combined for a 46% completions rate.
Once again, I insist, this is what bowl games should be. You want an exhibition game? We'll give you a fucking exhibition, says the Sun Bowl.
There was a year when Virginia Tech blocked all 3 of Cincinnati's extra points and a punt. but Cincinnati won anyway.
Frank Beamer is in the Sun Bowl's Hall of Legends for this exact reason.
1967, there were 12 interceptions, Auburn, Arizona. Yes, it's the all-time Bowls record. That was the first Sun Bowl broadcast by CBS. So if you make it through that, you keep it.
Home of maybe the worst football game ever played. One so bad its grandeur became apparent only after 10 years of delay. That would be the 3-0 Oregon State Pitt game.
Oh, yeah. Somebody should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
So there is actually an even worse game, the 1939 one between Tempe Normal Teachers College, Arizona State, and a school just named Catholic.
I'm going to start a weird teachers college.
0 points, 3 pass completions for 16 yards. That's the whole game.
Pat Narduzzi is like, awesome. Give it to me! Bring me this offense!
This bowl is what every bowl thinks it is. This bowl is what every bowl aspires to.
Yeah.
Truly.
Now it's sponsored by a cartoon tiger.
Not the cereal.
It's fine.
It gets people horny on Twitter.
It's fine because, A, it's a company that – it's not a company, but it's a thing that we know about. And also, it has not affected, like, anything else about the Sun Bowl. Fine.
Correct.
Like, I'm calling it fine given everything else that we have to deal with.
The Sun Bowl is weird enough that you're just like, yeah, why wouldn't it be that?
The Sun Bowl is brought to you by Cereal Cat Girls. Why not?
Yeah. This is why I really, really wish that we could get Vern Lundquist reading Thirsty Tony the Tiger, please.
Can we call Vern and get a They're Great?
Oh, Tony, clap these cheeks!
Come on home, Vern.
Chimes.
Also, note this was
now he's game lost which, again.
This is, game in which, this is the game in which Burt Reynolds made an appearance.
Burt
Reynolds
sharing a backfield with Lee Corso. There's a trivia question.
You can't invoke Burt Reynolds as you enter the wife portal. You'll be trapped there forever.
I've been there and I've made it back out. I'm Sam Pittman's wife and Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife and now
Reynolds
Tony the Tiger's wife.
Now you're Lonnie Anderson.
Burt Reynolds is like,
I have a harem.
Tug on the bottom of Jason's hoodie and see if it's a rubber mask that can be pulled off.
Burt Reynolds is like,
is actually Jason.
I entered the wife portal and left with the shirt off my back. Oh, alimony.
Alimony.
Oh, hey, it's the Gator Bowl. This was the Outback Bowl, but not the Outback Bowl. This is the one you know as the Tax Slayer Bowl, also known as the game where Woody Hayes hit Charlie Bauman that one time. Friday at 12:30, 3:30 p.m. on ESPN. Number 21 Notre Dame versus number 19 South Carolina. Both ranked 8-4. South Carolina is higher ranked because it is a better school. The Tax Slayer Gator Bowl has two swords in its logo, and I'd like to spend some time narrowing down the fighting style of the eponymous Tax Slayer, if we can, based on the information in this logo.
So
let's look.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ryan.
I was going to say, are you familiar with the canon of The Witcher video game and television series and such?
This is good.
Because The Witcher has two swords, but I have my
broad
theory
swords,
of yours.
But
please
those
go
appear
ahead.
To be broadswords and these don't.
Okay.
Well, I think the length of the sword wouldn't necessarily rule out this theory.
So the proportions of what, hang on, we'll get there. Hang on. Let's look first to ancient Rome. Right? So the Daimachari were close combat fighters and used either pairs of curved scimitars or gladius. And those are the short swords favored by gladiators. And based on the proportions of what we can see in this logo here, which look more like long swords, if anything, only there's two of them, says we can rule out ancient Rome as the origin of the Tax Slayer. When you're talking about dual wielding, you naturally want to turn a look to the Far East. One possibility is Japan. Both katana and wakizashi techniques have been known to wield two weapons. One of these schools is two heavens as one, or two swords as one. But both katana and wakizashi are typically curved blades, single-edged curved blades, and we don't see that here. again in this logo. There's also a book called The Sword of Allah that tells of a general in the first caliphate to succeed the Prophet Muhammad who fought with two broadswords, Allah the Witcher. But again, if you look at the illustrations, the proportions aren't quite right. Chinese butterfly and hook swords, of course, I think we all agree we can rule out right away. Those aren't the right shape. But we're forgetting context here. We want to focus on Florida's periods of time under Spanish colonial rule because this game is played in Jacksonville. So let's look around Europe. Right. The Italian style known as Florentine, which is ahistorical, by the way, isn't helpful either because that typically calls for one long sword and a shorter sword or a parrying dagger. There are arguments over even in Dungeons and Dragons, there are arguments over whether fighting with two long swords is even possible. So what that tells me is that we're looking at some sort of amalgamation. Let's flip over to the actual history of the area and talk about the Seminoles. So in the 1500s, when the Spaniards came to Florida and attempted to conquer the Muscogee tribes of the southeast, the Seminoles' ancestors fought with spears, mainly, that had flint or bone or cane tips. They also had war clubs studded with shark's teeth, bows and arrows. Fire-hardened cane arrows could pierce Spanish armor. So I'm wondering if the case here is that we have a pair of fire-hardened cane swords for lightness, because with that lessened weight, you can both swing two big swords at once and pierce Spanish armor. There's a philosophical case for this as well. La verdadera destreza is the Spanish school of fencing for the early modern period. It's not just the school of fencing. It's a school of fighting. It's a philosophical thing, kind of like, this is not a one-to-one analogy, but like Bushido in Japan, like it's a warrior code. Destreza translates to dexterity, and verdadera destreza is the true skill or the true art. So destreza is intended to be a universal method of fighting applicable to all weapons, which means that indeed this could also marry two swords. It also lines up well with the philosophy of guerrilla warfare, because part of destreza doctrine, which was not common in fencing at the time, was to go around your opponent from the sides and not just charge at them straight from the front, right? Much as you would if you were living in a tropical, semi-tropical environment fighting invaders who were not used to your climate and were not used to your ground. So I'm positing that these swords in the logo actually represent cane swords for strength and lightness of motion, and that the tax slayer, as we know him, actually arose in the Americas, possibly as early as the 16th century.
Damn. What if it's Leonardo, the Ninja Turtle?
Katanas are carved.
Shit! I have nothing. Sorry, man. To add. I told you What could I possibly add?
No, I couldn't add anything to that.
That's the only Tax Slayer preview you need.
That's really all that I feel I need to add. My Spanish is terrible. Don't correct me.
Chimes.
Okay, not much is known about the Orange Bowl. It's played at 8 p.m. on New Year's Eve on ESPN. It features two orange teams. The red or orange team is Clemson, which posits, what if God's favorite show choir was forbidden to either sing or dance, against the yellow or orange team of Tennessee, which asks, what if there were an entire end of a state composed of talking raccoons, but not in a cute way?
How do you feel about this game?
Mm-hmm. It's gonna ask.
I don't know anything about this game.
That's not true.
No.
That's not true.
I think we're going to find out once and for all who's creepier about Jesus, and I like our odds.
Joe Milton, throw it to Cuba challenge.
What, your coach versus Dabo?
I mean, our people.
I think one of the...
Creepy can be a lot of different forms.
I don't know if it's a nice thing about college football, but it is a thing about college football, is that we'll never know once and for all who's creepier about Jesus.
Well, yeah,
it's a constant contest that is always up for
Auburn. Stealing Auburn valor there and even pretending that we can compete for this throne, but what is Auburn going to do about that right now?
Damn.
Sorry.
I mean, they could show up. They're not busy.
Mm-mm, no.
Why couldn't Auburn go to the Orange Bowl?
I mean, Hugh Freeze is probably in Florida, but not for any reasons involving the Orange Bowl. He probably is in Miami.
Is the Orange Bowl also where you suffered your injury? Did I make that up?
No.
Oh.
Rose Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So, this is...
Wait, unless I'm thinking about a different injury.
I'm thinking of your dance injury.
Oh, yeah, that was a piece of lore that I, holy shit, I actually did forget about that. I left that out this year. Yeah, I tore my ACL, LCL, and PCL. I forget if I tore my MCL.
That's way too many CLs.
Yeah. Anyway, this is my favorite personal trivia question, because technically, yes, I have performed with Luis Fonsi of Despacito fame before he was of Despacito fame. Then I tore my leg in half. Go Canes.
So this is by far the orangest Orange Bowl ever. Mm-hmm. The closest we got before was 1999 Florida-Syracuse. Florida's been here a lot. Miami's been here a lot. A handful of orange teams have been here a lot. But this is the first where it is almost guaranteed to be mostly orange. Syracuse in 1999 against Florida, they did not stake their claim to be the orangest team in the land. They wore blue jerseys.
Ugh. Trash.
Disgusting.
Trash.
Absolutely
idiots.
Disgusting.
Disgrace to the land.
Wait.
And look what happened.
Can both teams wear orange? I know that's not allowed, and I know you get like a penalty for that.
They're not.
Yeah, I think
in
rivalry games, yeah, it's a tradition. Yeah. You both wear your home jerseys. There's a lot of rivalries like that, and this should be a rivalry. I think everyone agrees.
I cannot think. I cannot decide who this would make angriest. If Clemson came out and was like, Tennessee's our rival, South Carolina would be the one that was angriest.
Imagine Tennessee who like
fuck you can't get rid of me that quick. I'll live in your basement, you motherfucker.
South Carolina right now.
Tennessee having to play Georgia and Alabama every year, and then saying, you know what? Fuck it. Let's pick up Clemson.
Let's get an ACC rival in Clemson.
Here's my take on this game. I appreciate that after having to play Georgia and South Carolina in the same season, that Tennessee gets a little bit of a breather for their bowl game to take on the lesser college football team in South Carolina.
Well, hey, the good news is if you beat Clemson, nobody will be impressed.
That's good, because as we know, if there's one team that is ill-equipped to handle a psychological bowl bump, it's this one.
Oh, yeah. Man, imagine that hype.
No team in the country is worse equipped to handle this win.
Number three. Preseason number three.
What an offseason this is going to be.
Preseason number three.
No, you can't all push for this. Is why I didn't want to talk about the Orange Bowl.
Also, Clemson's favored, which means nobody believes in the Vols. So, yeah.
This is a cold open, isn't it?
Yeah, Jalen Hyde's not playing, but that's okay. 10 passes to Squirrel White. 10 passes
10,
to Squirrel 20, White.
75 20. Passes to Squirrel White.
Joe Milton's going to throw it anywhere. That's okay, Squirrel White can climb trees. Mm-hmm.
Joe Milton, throw it to Opa-locka.
Also, Jesus Christ, let Jalen Hyatt rest his fucking shoulder for a minute. He's out a year.
He's fine. He's good.
I'm not mad at anybody sitting out of this game, even if it is an Orange Bowl. They've been through enough.
Which offseason storyline would you prefer? Out of control Tennessee hype or everything's going wrong at Clemson and Dabo hasn't figured shit out?
The latter. What are you talking about?
Well, they go together. So,
yeah, they go hand in hand.
You know, so you have to. Do you want that package?
I'm used to the first one.
So I think the other one. Tennessee lost three of their last five games.
Yes. Yep.
Yes,
Tennessee.
Yes.
Please give us that.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yep,
yes. Yes.
Yep. And I guess the other one is Klubnik balls out. And, well, Clemson was right there if they had just made the right decision at quarterback all along.
Yeah, oh, Dabo's stubbornness is what kept us out of the playoff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you
I don't
know.
Think, and I'm on record as saying this before. I don't think I don't believe anymore that it was loyalty to a fault that kept him playing that kept him playing DJ. I think he just got bad information and his intelligence infrastructure has collapsed. Like, I think it was just dumb.
Nah.
I like that theory because it's very simple. And there is some truth.
look at how he functions this is a serious football opinion and I apologize for that, but look at how he functions as a coach and look, he's lost keys to his apparatus, coupled with you can't have the run of quarterbacks they had without incredible staff work but also incredible luck. And if those run out at the same time,
then you're going to Klubnik. That's right, Klubnik.
This club has it all except a title.
I hate to defend Clemson at all, but
yes, you've lured him out.
Mask off.
it's another motherfucking 11 win season. So like,
yes!
I'm fine with the sky falling with 11
yes!
wins.
Talk that shit.
Yes.
I will always be. So I was fine with. I was fine with last year being awful, and it turned out to be worse than this year, and it was still also pretty good.
Didn't we ask you at the beginning of the year if Clemson was going to revert to normal once they got off their title run? You were like, no, we will be like this forever.
I think so. Yeah. That sounds about right.
You're demonstrating how to be a very reasonable sports fan.
I don't fit in with these people. It's why I don't go to the games. I don't talk to them. I don't like them. I don't like my fellow Clemson fans.
Clemson is in danger of slipping into Ohio State territory.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like...
Wait. In the sweatshirt fascism or like...
No, just in the like... Here. Just in the like expectations way up here. Therefore, if we're not in the playoff and if we don't do well in the playoff, fuck you. Uh-huh. This is a failure. We can't enjoy anything.
That's such a weird thing to me, too, because personally, have you ever seen an Ohio State fan? What other expectations in life are they living up to?
Wow.
Any of them?
This is all they have is the thing.
Wow.
Mm. Like one of them?
This is such a broad brush. You're a mean guy.
This one thing is the load-bearing column of everything.
You're a mean man.
To them? Yeah. Bring it. It's a blade. It's a razor out every time.
I understand. But yes, I think Clemson, maybe it is good for more people to approach Serber's perspective on Clemson football, which is that, yeah, when you win 11 games, that's cool. That's really good.
I don't think so. I think the expectations should be higher.
I'm also I think it was 2 years ago, I went on like the College Sports Now podcast every week saying like, man, this sucks. All these games are blowouts. It's not fun to be a Clemson fan. And the last 2 years, it's been the exact opposite of that. It's been biting my nails every Saturday.
How about tonight?
I would take everything that's happened the last 2 years over the anxiety of national championship contention. If only they hadn't lost to South Carolina. That's really the only thing that actually sucks.
Oh, yeah,
that's the price
you
pay.
Yeah,
losing to Carolina is what kept you from having to play Georgia this year.
I know. We were really fucked because also the only ACC team that is not acceptable to lose to is UNC. So we really had no chance this year of doing anything but driving me a little bit insane.
We talked about NC State and the perpetual state they're in. That kind of used to be Clemson.
Was.
Hence
my Tommy Bowden joke.
Like, so you're super NC State now.
Yes. Yes.
Mega NC State EX.
We're cheat code NC State.
Oh, God. NC State got into the PCP. They're unstoppable.
We gave NC State a small hill to run down before the game.
NC State's the only team that would get into the PCP, get on three different kinds of performance enhancing drugs.
They're all going to be finance bros and engineers later. This is just good practice.
8-4. They you could be like, listen, I'm dropping.
They're gonna go 8-4 on angel dust.
Yeah, I'm dropping angel dust and 5 Soviet era steroid technicians into NC State's football facility, and I'm giving them $1 billion and all of the drugs they want, and NC State would go 8-4.
The universe is powerful.
Yeah, no, that ain't budging. That is the immovable object. There's your ceiling.
Oh, that NC State's wedged in there good. You're not getting that out, but
should we apply a Chuck Amato to it? Try it.
No.
It's been done before.
No, just plaster it over. Plaster over it. It's in the wall good there. It's just part of the structure now. 8-1
Did you say
NC
now
State.
It's squeaking?
No.
Kill me.
That's the Tom O'Brien I knew and loved.
He's still in there.
This is the Tom O'Brien with a Chuck Amato crang.
That's how he interviewed for the NC State job. How do you feel about this job? Kill me. Hire him. That's our guy.
Yeah, he worked at Boston College. He's seen worse.